Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Here's how what I would compare this to. So you're getting married, right? You're at the wedding, and there's that ceremony where the guy will ask you, do you say I do? And he asks you, "Do you sure you want to marry her?" And then he's like, "You sure you want to marry him?" And then you say, "I do." And I would say that about 99.999997% of the time, it's a formality. You say, "I do," right? Like, what the hell are we doing here? Like, why'd you have the big event if you're not going to say I do? So why did I bring that up? I am comparing that to the news that came out at about 11:45 a.m. And that was when the New York Yankees released a statement. First, it was a tweet, and then it was a statement announcing they've exercised their 2025 club option on manager Aaron Boone.
I botched it again.
It's news. It's worthy of discussing. But we all kind of knew it was happening. It's like when you go to the wedding, there isn't drama that he's going to say no. She's going to say no.
He already said yes.
Yeah, you already know. Why'd you spend $30,000 on the hall? I mean, of course she's saying yes. So the option has been exercised. I'd like to read some statements, and then we can all opine on said subject. First, Aaron Boone. I am grateful for the trust placed in me to lead this team. It's a responsibility and an opportunity that I will never take lightly. It's a great privilege to show up for work every day and be surrounded by so many determined and talented players, coaches, and staff members. Starting with the Steinbrenner family, there is a collective commitment to excellence within this organization that is embedded into what we all do. I'm already looking forward to reporting for spring training in Tampa and working tirelessly to return the Yankees to the postseason to compete for a world championship. Here's what Brian Cashman had to say. Aaron is a steadying presence in our clubhouse and possesses a profound ability to connect with and foster relationships with his players. Consistently exhibiting these skills in such a demanding and pressurized market is what makes him one of the game's finest managers. Our work is clearly not done, but as we pursue the ultimate prize in 2025, I am excited to have Aaron back to lead our team.
What else did you expect? What else could anyone have expected? They're going to fire Aaron Boone or Brian Cashman? He can't be fired, but you know what I mean.
What do you mean? You could fire him. It's just you don't fire someone who's in your family.
You're right.
He's got like Yankee blood in him. You can't fire him.
But what did you expect was going to happen? They went to the World Series. It's like, how often? We said this yesterday. How often does that happen? If ever. Unless it's just voluntarily, you know, it's time for me to take time off and leave this sport just took my team to the World Series win.
I'm gonna give you.
It just doesn't happen.
You're right, and we've talked about that. But Sean brought something up about 2 weeks ago, and I think it's very apropos to bring it up now and explain the difference. Sean brought up Grady Little. So Grady Little was the manager of the Boston Red Sox when they got to the seventh game of the ALCS against the New York Yankees in 2003. And considering where the Red Sox had been over the previous decade, that was a really good season.
Yeah.
Like, they got to the seventh game of the ALCS against the New York Yankees. It's pretty damn good. Grady Little didn't lose his job because they lost in seven to the New York Yankees. In fact, it would have been easy to say on Sports Talk Radio in Boston, he got the Red Sox to the seventh game of the ALCS. Like, how could you possibly fire him? They fired him because he made a mistake. They fired him because he made a perceived mistake. I actually agreed with his move at the time, but whatever. And that was leaving Pedro Martinez in too long in game seven of the ALCS. So I think we all know they literally fired their manager because of a strategic move that was widely panned.
For trusting one of his great players.
Right. And by the way, Teague, I agreed with Grady Little, and I agree with your opinion
just,
right now.
Just stating.
We don't need.
Sometimes it's on the player.
I agree. Now, we shouldn't relitigate it, though. We could on a podcast because it would be a lot of fun. But it's not to relitigate the move because I actually do agree with you, okay? But the Red Sox literally fired him because of that one move. Is that a fair statement to make?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Oh, I just said car wreck. I got very nervous for a second. Correct. All right.
Yes. I thought he said car wreck, too.
Okay, good. Listen again.
Correct.
I read this statement for a reason, not just to kill time. I want you to listen to what what Brian Cashman said again.
Mm-hmm.
Arian is a steadying presence in our clubhouse.
Which is true.
And possesses a profound ability to connect with and foster relationships with his players.
He's known as a player's coach.
Consistently exhibiting these skills in such a demanding and pressurized market is what makes him one of the game's finest managers.
I don't think the market matters. How you relate to your players, okay. But keep going.
That's it. Did you hear him talk about his strategy in games?
Nope.
No. Did you hear him talk about making the right bullpen decisions?
I botched it again.
So here's the point. I'm not agreeing with what Arian did in the World Series strategically. In fact, I vehemently disagree with him. What Brian Cashman is telling you is that doesn't matter. What matters is your presence in the clubhouse. What matters is your relationship with players. What matters is the market size, even if you disagree with it, and how you handle that.
Well, it matters because people are going to scrutinize you in this market, but your relationship with players doesn't matter what market you're in.
Right. You have to have that relationship no matter what.
You got to get the best out of them. It doesn't matter if you're in, I don't know, Arizona or you're in New York.
No question. But what Brian Cashman is telling you, and this is the inherent disagreement that maybe a lot of Yankee fans may have with Brian and the Yankees, is that they're literally bringing him back for the same reason they got rid of Joe Girardi. Why'd they fire Joe Girardi after getting to the seventh game of the ALCS? They didn't believe he connected with his players. They believed what? He was too hard on Gary Sanchez or whatever you want to come up with? It wasn't the results. It wasn't the strategy. It wasn't that at all.
Yeah.
That's the stuff we talk about on Sports Talk Radio, and it's the stuff that, I admit, I'm very passionate about, but that's not how they make the decision on if he's the right manager or not.
No, you're right. First of all, I don't think Brian Cashman is telling us he doesn't think strategy matters.
He didn't even mention it.
And I think the reason he didn't mention
it is... Why did he say he's one of the great strategists in baseball?
Because he's not. He knows he's not, and Brian Cashman gets laughed out of the building social media-wise, regular media-wise, if he says that.
Well, it's also...
So just ignore that.
It also becomes debatable.
Right.
Whereas, if you just state what he stated, like, you state things that are facts and you know that are indisputable. That is, he's been one of the most effective player managers that you can think of in this market.
Correct.
That's a fact. And there's nothing wrong with that. But does that help you win games? I guess in times it does, but ultimately it's coming down to the strategy. Now, if Brian Cashman had brought up strategy at all, had mentioned even one move that Aaron Boone had made, it opens up a ton of questions.
Yes.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you have to answer those questions. And when it's proven that Aaron made a mistake for whatever reason, then you follow up with, well, then why are you keeping him? Right. And so it eliminates the question about why you're keeping him.
Yeah, and it's a smart way to answer it. And
but the easy answer to why you're keeping it is because they just weren't in the World Series.
Right. And the unfortunate truth, and I hate to tie all this together, but it's the fact. The Yankees need to do this offseason, and they need to keep the ship steadied because I don't think that...
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
They can afford, and what is going to be in every penny count situation, to rock the boat in any way to dissuade Juan Soto from coming back.
You think changing the manager would have done that?
I think if you're looking to break a tie with the New York Mets or the Los Angeles Dodgers, yeah, and everybody's money help. Matches.
Yeah, I hear you.
At the one thing resonated me in my 15-hour drive home from Yankee Stadium when they were eliminated, and I'm over-exaggerating. I listened to that entire post-game show, and the one answer from Aaron Boone's post-game show, that I'm remembering this on the fly, was he said, hey, I hope Juan's back. The one thing I could say about me and Juan Soto, we became family this season. And if that is true, and who knows, he's clearly a player-manager. If Juan Soto genuinely loves Aaron Boone, can the Yankees really afford to rock things over strategy?
No,
the first domino
right.
they need to check off is keeping Soto here.
Well, it just creates a question mark where
right.
you don't need it. That question
right.
mark will exist for every other organization.
Yes.
Well, except for the ones that he already played for, according to Evan's conspiracy theory.
Oh, but, the Nationals?
Yes.
They got the same manager,
right.
so he's used
so
to them.
Every, for almost every other team, that's going to be a question mark. What's the skip like?
Right.
Like, he can't go play for whoever and not have any kind of conversation.
Well, I don't,
Skipper.
I don't
now,
think
it's going to come down to money, but it's going to matter in some capacity.
Yeah, and now, Evan, before you answer, I think this is also important. What did the Yankees do today with Aaron Boone? They exercised their 2025
That's right. Option. He's a free agent at the end of the year.
They did not give Aaron Boone an extension today off the World Series,
You're
which
correct.
Is why I think what I said mattered. Because if they do lose Juan Soto, we've seen Aaron Boone, the manager without Juan Soto, not get to the World
yeah.
Series. So they did not tie themselves long-term, because then it's going to come back to Aaron Boone, the strategist.
But it's also something the Yankees have done a lot with managers over the years, because if you recall, when they fired Joe Girardi, which was a term that some people disagreed with me on, because they didn't fire him, his contract expired.
Yeah.
Kind of like what will happen with Aaron at the end of this season. They didn't bring him back. They didn't fire him. They're just like, yeah, we're good. We're going to go hire somebody else.
Yeah.
So it does seem like a part of the Hal Cashman strategy, even with Cashman himself, because remember last year his contract expired too, is to let these contracts expire and then say, all right, we're going to bring you back or not. But I think what we need to realize, what I need to realize, because trust me, I'm part of this too. I love breaking down managing decisions, right? We all do. Can
right.
you believe that he brought the lefty in? Can you believe that? I think what Brian Cashman is telling you in a very loud voice is all that strategy stuff, that's not how they decide who the manager is. That's not the number
well,
one thing in import
I think,
when talking about managers.
But I think this year that's the case. I don't know if it's the case if it wasn't a... Like, you almost can't fire him. You almost have to just find the most benign way to say we're keeping him, because he just went to the World Series.
They got rid of Aaron Joe Girardi after getting to the seventh game of the ALCS,
okay.
and you're in which they didn't have expectations.
Okay, but it's still not a World Series.
You know what? You're right, but here's what may sound crazy. I think the Yankees getting to the seventh game of the ALCS in 2017 was a far more impressive, kind of shocking thing than the Yankees getting to the World Series now, only because the Yankees this year were expected to be a legitimate World Series contender. In 2017, their over-under was like 80.5.
Mm.
They weren't supposed to be good.
Yeah.
And yet they were good, and as an underdog,
so
went on the...
Yeah, he lifted the team.
Yes! And so I think when you say, hey, they can't fire him after the World Series, I would look back at the last time they got rid of a manager and say, they moved on from a manager who got to the seventh game of the LCS after the team had kind of been in the darkness for
yeah,
a few years.
Yeah, but it probably was like a lot of behind the scenes. Strife might be too strong of a word, but just like friction.
You know what I think it was? Exactly what Brian said in the statement. Aaron Boone gets to his players. I don't think Joe Girardi was.
Yeah.
And so as long as Aaron Boone is showing up to work every day and has the respect of that locker room, and they look at him as a steadying presence, as Brian Cashman said, and has these incredible relationships that he fosters with his players, then they want him to be the manager.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing from a manager.
As long as they're still winning.
As long as they're not sucking, yeah. But that's the thing we can't measure. And I admit that. Like, I know it. Like, when we're breaking down all the moves that he makes, it's like, I don't know how he's handling relationship-wise with Giancarlo Stanton, but apparently that's what he does well, and I think that's the main reason that they exercise this option.
Yeah, but the timing of this announcement, I think, is very interesting, and it plays a little bit off.
Friday news dump?
No. No. I think this tells you they're not getting Juan Soto.
Why?
Because if they don't get Juan Soto and they announce Boone is coming back after that, there will be, you know, hellfire and brimstone. So on a Friday, you announce this, where people are angry, but not totally angry. We all expected it. Can you imagine they don't get Juan Soto and they go, but we got great news. Aaron Boone is coming
back.
Do
you want me to blow it up very quickly, your theory?
Because they have to do it before a certain date.
There's a 10-day window to exercise the option.
Not everybody knows that.
Oh, so you did know that?
I could see Tommy's back pain from reaching.
Yeah. Well, there's a 10-day period. They waited about 7.5 days. So why'd they wait 7.5 days? You know, were they thinking about it? Were they making him sweat? Were they going back and forth?
No, they were trying to dump it on a Friday.
That, exactly. So the first thing I said.
Yes.
It's a Friday news dump.
Yes.
Look, Yankee fans, here's the truth. I want to make you feel better about something. The Yankee success in 2025 is going to be about the players that your owner is willing to spend on and your general manager is keen enough to bring in. I don't think this manager is going to be the difference between you winning or you losing. He's a fine manager. He's an okay manager. He's a decent manager.
Right.
And the thing about decent managers is they don't make you and they don't break you. And that's what he is. So if you're a Yankee fan who's depressed about this, I'd say take a deep breath. If you're a Yankee fan who thinks this guy is Miller Huggins, take a deep breath. He's an average, solid manager. And they love him because of the connection he has with his players. Now, Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner, go get better players.
Right.
How about that strategy?
Right. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
That's the key. Let's go to Alan in New Hyde Park. How are you, Alan?
Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call. Listen, I've been freaking. I'm not an Aaron Boone fan. Second of all, those speeches that you just read, Evan, were done by AI Chaffet, in my opinion. That's how they were done. That's how they were done. So I don't believe anything that was just said by those two guys.
Those two guys
are tied to the hip. That's my opinion. I'm not over. You want to?
Okay. No, go ahead.
Give me one more comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not over the debacle that I witnessed in this World Series that you guys and all these hosts have gone over, said and done. As far as Juan Soto, and I don't know where he's going, but let me just say this. I don't believe, in my opinion, that Hal doesn't care about championships. He cares about the dollar. So what I'm saying is two things. One, I don't know if he's going to put the money up that will be required to actually bring this player back, is point one. When I saw this guy play this year at the stadium and abroad with the Yankees, I didn't really realize how good he is. I was totally shown that this guy can handle anything put in front of him,
Alan,
especially in New York.
Alan, I got to commend you on something. So the first thing Alan said in his phone call was that was not written by the Yankees. It was written by AI.
Yeah, like ChatGPT. Give me a Aaron Boone's coming back speech.
I just did. So I'll read it to you. Alan gave me that idea. And I didn't listen to the rest of what he said. I apologize. I'm sure it was a great phone call, and I'm glad he got his opinion out there. I went on ChatGPT, and I asked, please write a press release on why Aaron Boone should be back as Yankees manager. So I'm going to read it to you, and you tell me if this is better than the Yankees press release.
Go ahead. Let's hear it.
I tell you, Alan, you're a brilliant man. The New York Yankees managerial position is one of the most scrutinized roles in professional sports.
That was included?
And as the... I swear to God.
I know, I'm just saying, that was included in there.
This is how it starts. I'm literally reading this from ChatGPT.
Now, it probably is taking what Cashman and the Yankees said into consideration.
I have no idea what they're doing, but
it's scraping so much data that it's definitely included what Cashman just
all
said.
I wrote, just so you know, full disclosures, all I wrote to ChatGPT was write a press release on why Aaron Boone should be back as manager of the Yankees.
This is definitely influenced by what was already put out there by the Yankees.
I'm just saying. By the way, this press release is like 50 pages long. It's amazing. The New York Yankees managerial position is one of the most scrutinized roles in professional sports. And as the team looks ahead to the 2025 season, there has been much debate surrounding the future of Aaron Boone. As we reflect on Boone's tenure as manager, it's clear that he has the leadership, experience, and passion to continue guiding the Yankees through the challenge of modern baseball. Boone's tenure, which began in 2018, has not been without its hurdles, but his consistent ability to adapt to this evolving landscape of the game and lead one of the most storied franchises in all of sports is undeniable. Here are the top reasons why Aaron Boone should return as manager. They did a Cinco de Mayo. Number one, consistent winning record. Under Boone's leadership, the Yankees have maintained a strong competitive presence in the American League.
Boring.
All right, let's get to number two. Developing and nurturing talent.
Okay, Aaron Judge, and tell me who else.
One of the most important aspects of Boone's managerial style.
For most of it.
One of the most important aspects of Boone's managerial style has been his ability to nurture young talent. Under his guidance, players like Aaron Judge, Gleyber Torres, and Nestor Cortez have blossomed into key contributors at the major league level. Boone's leadership has helped the Yankees develop a homegrown core of players, which is critical for sustaining long-term success. Number three, resilience and accountability. Despite the high expectations that come with managing a team like the Yankees, Boone has shown resilience in the face of adversity. Whether dealing with injuries, roster changes, or tough postseason losses, Boone has always remained calm and focused on the bigger picture. His ability to take responsibility, handle pressure, and communicate effectively with both players and the media has earned him the respect of the team and fan base alike. Yeah, there's like 10 more reasons. Commitment to winning championships, strong leadership and communication, modernizing the Yankees' approach, and then there's the conclusion. In conclusion, in the high-pressure environment of New York, success is often measured by championships, but it's important to recognize the broader picture. Aaron Boone has proven himself to be an effective, adaptable, and resilient manager who consistently puts his team in a position to succeed. His track record speaks for itself, and his leadership and vision for the Yankees' future remains invaluable. As the Yankees look to a new season ahead, Aaron Boone's experience, commitment, and ability to lead this team make him the right choice to continue as manager of the New York Yankees.
Very well said, Brian Cashman. ChatGPT.
I think ChatGPT did a better job than the Yankees.
Oh, well, it was more thorough.
It was very thorough. Did that change your opinion on him, Sean?
No. He's still not a strategist, and he stinks.
But they were pretty good.
We'll get back to your calls on this in a second. 888-808-1019. And along with Aaron Boone returning, I make the case for a very unpopular New York Yankee to also return with him. We'll get to more football later as well. Giants, Panthers, Jets trying to turn their season around. We'll make our picks later as well. Aaron Boone is back as New York Yankee manager. And before we get back to your calls on said subject, as well as the NFL, I do want to say something I've been thinking about over the last few days that I'm afraid, like, Sean will throw a chair at me for saying. Like, I'm almost afraid to give my sports opinion, and it's a very, I think, fair, solid sports opinion. I don't think it's crazy. But I feel like it could incite violence, so I want to be very careful.
Would you throw a chair, Sean?
No, I don't think I've ever thrown a chair in my life.
Could you lift a chair?
Well, that's insulting.
I'm just asking.
Of course like, I can lift a chair.
Because you're not. I don't think you're strong enough.
Well, you think I don't move stuff around
my house? You're strong enough, but chairs are awkward.
Yeah.
Right? Like especially our chairs, because you pick it up and it starts to spin. And if you don't grab it in the right way, you could end up hurting yourself.
I see what you're cooking there, Barber, but I'll say dogs are awkward to pick up, and I pick up mine all the time.
Well, before I give you the sports opinion, I'm afraid you'll throw a chair at me on. Why don't you come in here and prove that you can pick up a chair?
Yeah. I will. You
pick
know
up
what?
A chair.
I will.
Why don't you hold the chair while I give the sports opinion?
When somebody asks you to do something, you ask how high. So I'm going to ask you before I walk in there, how high you want me to pick up that chair?
To your chest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like you're going to throw it at me.
Yes.
Even if you're not going to throw it at me. So lift it up, and as you're lifting it, I'll give you the sports opinion.
Yeah, let's do the blue chair.
Okay,
do
pick the blue that chair, blue chair up.
Yes.
And he's got it up.
Whoa.
Okay, now he's throwing
it at me.
All right. My opinion is I think the Yankees should very much strongly consider bringing Gleyber Torres back.
Well done. Well,
thank you very much.
I was saying well done to Sean. Not well done to you.
Not my opinion?
No, not well done to you.
By the way, as I said that, he left the studio and said, quote, under his breath, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, were you Jesusing the, like, yeah, that's not a big deal? Or are you Jesusing that you really hate that sports opinion? Like, which one is it?
He really wants Jazz to be a second baseman.
Actually, I don't.
Really?
I want Jazz to be the Yankee third baseman. Here's the deal, Evan. That's a great sports opinion to have, but the caveat is how long and how much. I am not, just because he had a great October and a great little end of September, falling into the Gleyber Torres trap where I'm giving him $100 million
No. Well, hold on a second.
If you're telling me, you tell me a 1 to 3 year, reasonable deal.
What do you think he's going to get on the open market?
That's a part of why I'm interested in bringing him back. I don't think he's going to get a lot. And I think he's going to be very undervalued for a guy that's, you know, going to turn 28 years old. So he's going to go into his age 28 season. 28 and 29. He's still in his 20s. He had an okay year, not as good as the year he had a year earlier.
Right, not the necessary year on a contract year.
But here's the main reason why I want to make this case to you, because I do think the contract's going to be minimal. In fact, I'll give you a prediction if you want it. Mm-hmm. I think he's only getting a two-year deal.
If he is, then bring him back.
And I think he's going to get $16, $17 million. Like, one of the things I've heard from Yankee fans, in fact, Sean said this to me off air, and I rolled my eyes, just reminded me, he doesn't know what he's talking about, is he said, oh, the Yankees didn't send a qualifying offer to Gleyber,
yep.
That means he's gone. And I don't subscribe to that. Now, maybe privately Brian Cashman wants him gone. I'm not, you know, privy to what Cashman's saying. But just because you don't offer someone the qualifying offer doesn't mean you don't want him back. It means you don't want them back at that price.
But it's only 1 year, dude.
Yeah, but it's $21 million.
Okay, but I'm going to actually take something from Tiki that he says about football, right?
Go ahead.
The cap is fungible, I think is what Tiki Barber says all the time here, right?
Yeah.
So to me, the one-year salary base for the Yankees can be very fungible to them depending on what they do, where they could absorb Gleyber for 1 year and they really want him back.
It's not as good as a two-year deal for less money, especially when it brings down the AAV and you're concerned about your luxury tax.
You're saying 2 years for
less than 21 a year. I'd say about 16 or 17. Hmm. Like,
I'd be very pleased if that.
Okay, and that's what I'm talking about. Because obviously, if Gleyber Torres' market explodes and he gets 4 years, $90 million, no, I'm not interested in that. I just don't think that's what his market's going to be. And a part of why I want him back, or I'd be interested in bringing him back, is A, I don't think he's as crappy as the way you guys describe him. Mm. Like, does he have his issues defensively here and there? Sure.
Well,
does he have his base running snafus? Sure. Mm. But he's a solid, productive major league second baseman.
I'll tell you my problem. And it's not really a problem. It's just, it's the issue.
Good.
And it's the issue that permeates the organization. And a lot of it is because of Aaron Boone.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked about this multiple times. We talked about it in the World Series when we were over at Yankee Stadium doing those 5.5 hour shows. How there was just
love to bring that
there
up.
Was like a lack of urgency I felt with this team, and it's because of how this manager talks about this team.
Right.
And I don't know if he talks to the team like that, but I'm assuming he does because that's how they play sometimes. And the perfect example of the everything's going to be all right, we're good, let's just handle things, you know, as they come, is Gleyber Torres.
Mm.
Like, he's the on-field example of what I'm talking about, who is just, hey, look, you know, this is an easy throw to second base, I'm just going to throw it over there. Volpe, sorry, you got to jump to the moon to catch it, and don't turn a double play, right? So it's like those little things that you think don't matter, they cost you games.
No, I get you.
And so
I get you.
Aaron Boone speaks that way. Gleyber Torres is that way.
Yeah.
So that's my issue with Gleyber.
I think it's a fair issue. My issue is I want talent. So if you let him walk away, all right, and he steps an offer somewhere else, wherever it is, wherever Gleyber Torres ends up, you now have to replace him. And if you try to replace him with a second baseman, I could tell you the free agent market is horse bleep. If you try to go to third base, really the only guy worth it is Alex Bregman, who's a big money guy. And yes, Alex Bregman would be an incredible upgrade over Gleyber Torres. There's no debate. But then you start to think about the trade market. And one name that's starting to come up is that, well, the Cardinals may dump out Nolan Arenado.
Or your farm market.
Or you go farm, which, by the way, you know, those guys can get the opportunity anyway. You know, they can still get ABs in different avenues. But you look at a guy like Nolan Arenado, who's 34 years old, look at his numbers last year. Gleyber Torres' numbers were basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I don't feel very good about a guy who's trending down at 34 years old versus a guy who's still 28. Like, he's a big name, and that may excite people. Like, would that excite you, Nolan Arenado, Sean?
I can't lie and act like it wouldn't if I found out they got Arnold.
Okay, I think you're a fool, with all due respect.
I probably would be. Trending, wouldn't be the first time.
He's trending down. He's 34 years old. It's like collecting an old piece of art. Like, okay. Yes, he's a platinum glove winner. Yes, he used to be awesome. Keyword used to. His OPS was 719 last year, and he's 34.
I think the biggest issue with Gleyber Torres that I have and a lot of Yankee fans have, that's probably a mental hurdle we all need to get over, and the Yankees need to be smart about this, is Gleyber Torres effectively never became basically the prince that was promised.
Right? I agree with that. Yeah.
And I think now that we've lived with Gleyber Torres long enough, we know Gleyber Torres is a good, solid major league player that is infuriating at times, but at times is ultra valuable like we saw in this run. But because he never became the superstar MVP candidate we thought when they traded for him with the Cubs and he came up that first year, we can't get over that mental hurdle. And to us, he's always going to be a disappointment.
You know what that sounds like? Daniel Jones.
Probably right.
I do agree that Gleyber, especially early on, we thought would be a star. And just to give you an example of that, back in the day when DeGrom was dominant and the Mets sucked, there were constant DeGrom to the Yankees sports talk radio discussions. Mm-hmm. Like, complete BS. But you remember, guys, when that would happen. DeGrom at the Yankees. And the guy that Met fans would say they would trade Jake for was Gleyber Torres. Mm. And Yankee fans would say, no way!
So that's our guy. No.
That's a quick way to give you the synopsis on how high Yankee fans were on Gleyber Torres.
You don't trade him for a number two starting pitcher in the rotation.
Shut your mouth over there. I think it's not about Gleyber being awesome. It's about the alternative. And I think sometimes we view the alternative as a lot better than what they actually are. There are not a lot of good second basemen free agents. There aren't a lot of great third basemen free agents once you get past Bregman. I think bringing in and acquiring a fossil like Nolan Arenado is a grave mistake, especially if you're Hal Steinbrenner, who doesn't want to just spend money on everybody. So I think it's a part of it is talent. A part of it is how much is he going to cost? And I look around the landscape and I don't know, man. There's not a lot of better options. Now, there are a lot of things you can do with Jazz Chisholm, by the way. You mentioned being moving him to second base. I think you said that, Teague. Yep. Absolutely option on the table. The other option on the table, especially if they lose Juan Soto, is Jazz Chisholm's the center fielder. And now you're looking at your infield a little bit differently because you've got, let's say,
right,
Dominguez in left, Chisholm in center, Judge in right, Giancarlo at DH. And now that money that you didn't spend on Soto, you're going big on the infield, right? Now you're going hard after a guy like Alex Bregman.
His defense wasn't great last year in Miami when he got the chance to play center.
I understand. It's just an option. I'm just saying it's an option.
No, he's also his
not
flexibility.
He's also not an outfielder. So
yeah.
I also think with more time, he'll be a better outfielder.
And just like with more time, he'll likely be a better third baseman.
Which is why I want him there.
Right.
Of course.
I was excited by his athleticism.
I just believe that Yankee fans, a lot of you guys have closed the door on Gleyber Torres. I don't think you should close the door. I think you should keep it a little bit adjacent. Because it is a solid option.
You're just tired of him. I think that's what it comes down to. Not in a get out of here, we hate you. This isn't like Aaron Hicks. But it is, we're kind of just tired of you not developing.
You're right, and I'm going to give Evan and his IBO keywords and BO there credit. I have operated and left this offseason probably like an idiot, and many Yankee fans probably believed he's going to get a semi-big deal somewhere and the Yankees shouldn't pay that. If Evan's telling me 2 years, 15, then I think every Yankee fan would be very pleased with that.
That's my prediction. I don't think he's going to get a big amount of money. I think Gleyber needs to come off a better year. I mean, he was not coming off the greatest year in the world, so my guess is about 2 years, $34 million. Mm. That's my official guess. Want to write that down or not really? It's Gleyber Torres. Who cares, right?
Am I going to get a text in 2 months going, hey, on November the 16th at 3:44? All right.
Yes, you will.
I think you should just cut everything that we say. So we have it. You never know.
Cut everything we say. We roll on everything we say, so we have it in the annals.
All right. If you have it in the annals, then I want you to play the clip of you the other night arrogantly saying the Knicks will beat the Hawks, no problem. Go
well,
ahead.
See, that part of this show actually was cut off because when the hours change, it just cuts off. So we don't have that audio.
Isn't it annals?
Dog once famously said that wrong.
You're right. We've let that slide.
Now you're just saying it wrong.
Yes.
Just a homage to...
Yeah, it's like fan
dogs,
lore.
Anals.
Yeah.
Correct. He's paying great homage to the anals of Christopher Mad Dog Russo. Yes.
Got
who
it.
Doesn't? Philip is calling from New Jersey. How are you, Philip?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. So,
listen, so I think Keeping Boom may actually play against re-signing Soto, and I'll tell you why. What the statement was today was that he remained calm and focused. When you think on the top of the fifth inning, he was a little too calm and a little too focused on the one thing instead of coming out.
It's a good way to look at
and
it.
Help his pitcher.
That's a good way to look at it. He was too calm in that fifth inning by not doing anything.
And so I don't think that he sort of wants to go to a team that has a manager who's going to help the players win. I don't think that Boone is the right guy for that.
Yeah,
you know,
I think
he did not.
But remember, Philip, and it's a good point because I understand why you feel that way. That's not how Cashman is describing it, though. He's describing the calmness more in the long regular season.
Yeah.
The stresses of a 162. Yeah.
The grind.
The grind, if you will. The pressures of the everyday. He's not describing the World Series because Aaron Boone has said it before. He has said it's a crapshoot. And I think he probably looks at that fifth inning as, it's a bad inning. It's a crapshoot. It happens. I think most of us, and you've laid it out beautifully, Teak, are looking at that inning as indicative of the Yankee issues mm-hmm. over the last couple of years. It doesn't feel like Brian Cashman looks at it that way at all.
I don't know how he can't. Because nobody was surprised by this. Now, Joe Kelly aside, who's just mocking because he's a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was doing that, if I was on the Dodgers, I'd say, you know what? Self-scouting them, this is what you see.
Okay, but can I defend the Yankees in this regard?
Go ahead.
Okay, so the mistakes that were made in that inning, and it was a horrible inning, let's go through what they were.
Right. But I'm not talking specifically. I'm just talking generally.
I know.
I'm not saying, because I can't sit here and say, you know, I knew Aaron Judge was going to drop a fly ball in center field, and an easy pop-up. Right? Nobody would say that.
But that's, I guess, my point.
I wouldn't say, you know what, Garrett Cole just not aware enough to cover first base. He's just not good enough at that. I can't say that. It's nonsense.
Right, but my counter to that being the Yankee thing of making a lot of mistakes all year, which is true, my counter to that would be, but the mistakes were made by a guy who didn't make any errors all year in Aaron Judge, a Gold Glove caliber shortstop in Anthony Volpe, and two veterans who've won before in Garrett Cole and Anthony Rizzo.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're right the Yankees made mistakes all year, weren't those the wrong guys to make the mistakes to prove the point?
Yeah, but I almost think that's non-consequential. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who made the mistakes. It's just that they were always made, and they were always seen as okay. It was always, you know, that's just baseball. Sometimes these things happen. They shouldn't happen. There was never a consequence for things like that happening. Now, maybe Glaber was the only one that took a little bit of the brunt in it because he got sat down once. But how often did that happen?
Right.
It never felt like there was real accountability. And so I'm not saying we expect Aaron Judge to make an error like that in the World Series in Game 5 or Garrett Cole just to not be aware enough. But the fact that there was never a consequence means that guys never thought about it as something that was like going to be detrimental to them winning or losing or being able. I don't know. It's just I hate that it existed for so long. And then it reared its head when you least expected it.
No, I agree, except it just felt like that inning was very weird and like not indicative of who those players are. You're right, it's indicative of the team.
Yes.
But I can't get past that it was Aaron Judge, Anthony Volpe, and then Rizzo and Cole. Like, those are four guys that you probably said, I'm not that worried about making a miscue like that.
Mm.
That's what makes it tough. But Brian Cashman, when he talks about being relaxed, and he talks about all the positives of Aaron Boone, I think he's talking about regular season Aaron Boone. Because in Brian Cashman's mind, that's the job. Go get to the playoffs and then hope you get hot at the right time.
Can we discuss something here on November 8th? I understand that Aaron Boone is coming back as manager. I understand what happened in that game. If, you know, you had somebody close to you hit by a car and died, would you want to keep talking about it and looking at it?
Oh, my God.
What are you talking about?
I'm tired of hearing about Judge dropping the ball. Rizzo got covering face, first base.
Oh, you're
I want
tired?
To get up. I'm
it
so.
It wasn't Rizzo. It was Cole.
Well, Rizzo didn't charge. Nonetheless, I am tired of that inning.
The ball was spinning, and so he had to sit back. Otherwise, he was going to make an error. He expects the first baseman, or the quarterback, the pitcher, to cover first base.
Look, all the leftover catering from the funeral and the flowers have been thrown out.
Oh.
We are moving on with our lives.
I'm sorry. It's going to continue to be mentioned.
Yeah, hey, Sean.
It happened.
Hey,
and
Sean.
It was a reason that they blew a 5-0 lead in Game 5 when they were stealing momentum back from the almighty new evil empire in the L.A. Dodgers.
Sean, you're a hypocrite.
Sorry. It's just going to happen.
There are moments. I'll list them for you. The butt fumble.
Mm-hmm.
Luis Castillo. Matt Harvey staying in the game.
No.
Bro.
No, they live forever. They can live forever.
Jose Vizcaíno.
They could live
Paul O'Neill
forever.
Against the Ghosts. They don't go away because you're tired of it. That's not how sports works, bro.
That inning is going to live forever. I sat next to you in that booth with Ricky Ricardo screaming at us and watched that inning. It is ingrained in my brain, and I'll never freaking forget that night the rest of my life. I know it's going to be talked about forever, but we're a week removed
Now can we have some dignity, some pride, buried a little bit, and then when we're comfortable talking about it again, then it lives forever?
No.
No. Screw you two! What do you mean, screw you two? We're coming up on the anniversary of Mark Sanchez running into an ass, and we're going to make fun of Evan for it.
I hope
one day I can laugh like we could all laugh at Mark Sanchez running into an ass.
I don't laugh at it. So Lugie will tell you, do I laugh at that?
Oh, it's the worst day of the year for you.
Yeah,
but aren't you a little better dealing with it than maybe a week after?
No,
when people
he's
are like,
worse.
Oh, remember when he ran into a butt and it's 7 days later? He's worse every year.
Worse every year. I agree with Tommy. Like, sports disasters. And you would include that inning as a sports disaster?
The worst inning of Yankee baseball in my life.
Cool. Okay. To me, they get worse with time. They all do. You name it, it's worse now than it was then. It always gets worse. And if you're going to cry like a little baby, oh, no, yeah. It hurts me.
Time's not fixing it.
Yeah. It's going to get worse, and we're going to talk about it. Too bad. Too bad. We're going to talk about it. Ha-ha. Ha-ha-ha. But you know what? I want to make you feel better.
What are you going to say?
I want to make you feel better. I'm sorry, Tommy. It's going to hurt you.
It's okay.
I'll make you feel better. Talk about Luis Castillo dropping a pop-up. You could do it. If that's going to make you feel better, go say it. Go talk about it.
No.
K-Rod's on the mound.
No.
It's the middle of June. We're feeling good. A-Rod hits a pop-up, and I'm like, uh-oh. Like, and you remember that exhilaration you felt, that Luis Castillo dropped the pop-up and won a regular season
game? It's
gone.
It's a race forever.
I tried.
It doesn't matter.
Tried to make
because guess
better.
What? I wasn't there in person that day.
Because it was regular season?
Yeah, it was regular season, and it was something about me being there next to Evan, next to that moment, next to Fat Joe.
I made it worse.
Because I'm always going to... We're tied together at the hip now, pal, at least in my memory. And you go, that's interesting. No, but you did a lot of baseball left.
Did you know what happened with Ricky Ricardo? I'm going to reveal this. I love Ricky anyway, but I'll say it. Do you know what Ricky said during one of the breaks?
Yeah, you did say this on the air last week.
Oh, I did say it on the air last week? So
I don't remember.
Yankees are up. I love Ricky. I think he's one of the best, and he could very well be the next replacement for John Sterling. I've always said he's my number one choice. I think he's awesome. Mm-hmm. I think he's amazing. So, you know, I love you, Ricky. But Ricky said something. When they went up early in that game, Ricky looked back, made eye contact with me, and said, this game's over.
And he was right. Except the other way.
The other way. And you know what? I admit this. I looked back at Ricky and said, oh, it's over. So maybe it's me and Ricky's fault. Maybe that moment we shared thinking that the Yankees would not blow a 5-run lead in Game 5 of the World Series. Maybe it was just all our fault.
You know, we all shared a moment that night because as the Yankees were melting down, as Sean was melting down, I got a little text from my buddy, and I won't say his name, but he said, just for you and I.
Oh, yeah, that was me.
Oh,
I took a video of Sean Morash during one of the I think it was Freeman's hit in the middle of that.
You were like the paparazzi. He was like, no more. I don't want anything.
Yeah.
Which is so ironic because, you know, Sean would have the camera out for us if it was the other way.
In fact, that's a great... Sean, do you give me permission to release the tapes?
Do I look fat?
Does he look fat, Tommy?
He always looks fat.
You always look fat.
It just depends how I look. I don't care what was said. What's done is done.
It's a great video. I actually asked Evan if we should release it the next day.
You know what? Release it, because I got bad news for you and good news for Yankee fans.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, we got breaking news?
That? Yankee and Juan Soto related.
Oh, jeez.
I'll hit the glass.
Hal Steinbrenner is flying to California to meet with Juan Soto in a week and a half.
Okay.
So he's going to let everybody have their little fun.
Who's reporting this, by the way?
John Heyman did not call him by a wrong name. It's Hal Steinbrenner. You know, it's a good tweet.
Well,
from John.
John and Mike Puma, the New York Post, were the ones that first reported yesterday that Steve Cohen is doing the meeting. And now he's reporting Hal's guy. Any other reports, or is it just Stephen Hal for now? Is anyone else getting one-on-ones?
I mean, just Stephen Hal. So what happens here is Hal cracks his knuckles, shows up at the Boris Palazza, walks in and goes, what did Scotty tell you? Throw $20 million on top.
Interesting. Well, it's good to know that Hal's got a meeting. That's
not what he did.
Well,
he hasn't done it. It's a week and a half.
That's not what he's going to do.
What's he going to do, Teague?
He's going to say, throw $100 on it.
I like it. I like it.
Well, I have audio of Steve Cohen's meeting. Do you guys want to hear this?
Yeah.
This is what Steve Cohen will say to Scott Boras and Juan Soto when they meet next week.
Sir, here is a check with my name on it. Write down any number on this piece of paper and I will pay it.
That's the Met plan. We'll come back and get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. And the Giants are playing a football game this weekend. And they're doing it really, really early on a Sunday morning. How are we consuming Giants-Panthers? Plus some thoughts on the importance of this football game Sunday from Germany. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.